Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, April 8th, 2018. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning I'm teaching on remember the foundation of God. Remember the foundation of God stands sure. Last week at our local communion fellowship, as we finished our meal, I read a chapter from Billy Graham's book entitled Where I Am. He made a point to mention the one subject he wished he had taught about more is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That makes sense because to get born again, we need to confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead. So but that's a great thought. So I thought today I'd like to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him so that we can have an assurity of what the scriptures teach us and tell us. For without his resurrection, there would be no gospel, no good news, and ultimately no hope in this life. These aspects of our spiritual reality should play a large part in remembering our Lord and Savior on a daily basis and not just during communion. It might seem laughable that the born-again ones who would lose the truths of the hope, but take a look at 2 Timothy where Hymenaeus and Philetus told the beloved ones that the resurrection for the believers was already past. And even today, there are believers we have known in the past who no longer believe that our salvation is secure. They believe that Jesus will say to some of us, I do not know you. You may say, how can that be? But it happens in fellowships all around the world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 19. Starting in verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. We have so many clear assurances, and it does us well to have those assurances embedded in our hearts to withstand the onslaughts of the fake news and the false press. One of the first assurances that I love to recall is, can I still speak in tongues? If I can speak in tongues, then the gathering together has not yet happened. For the scriptures tell us that tongues will cease when that which is perfect is come, speaking of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that which is in part will be done away. When that which is perfect is come, there'll be no further need to speak in tongues to edify our spirit, because we will have a spiritual body. We'll be complete spirit in full perfection, in maturity. 2 Timothy talks about having this seal. Ephesians 1 talks about the seal. Well, think of all that a seal means. authenticity, confirmation, proof. A notary has a seal to authenticate and confirm and prove a document has been signed by you. Security, a carved emblem that you place on hot wax. When it dries, it hardens, and when it's tampered with the wax will break apart. If that wax is broken apart, you know it has been tampered with. A signet as a fence, fencing in or protecting from misappropriation. A stamp that impressed as a mark of privacy or genuineness. An example, the impression of the official seal that cannot be counterfeited. Every state has an official seal of that particular state. Like Indiana, we have the official seal of the state of the Indiana. A lot of the states, that's part of their flag. The official seal of the state of Ohio. Ours is used, and whenever documents that are necessary for legality in the state of Indiana are done and confirmed, then they're stamped with that seal, and it wrinkles the paper, and the impression of that seal comes out upon the paper, and that can't be duplicated. 2 Timothy talks about having this seal. In Ephesians 1, it talks about the seal. Well, think of all that the seal means. To correctly set our expectations concerning the hope of Christ's return, I'd like to read the following verses. This past year, Connie found these translations when we were preparing for a funeral service for a dear neighborhood friend. The first one that I'll read is from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 from the New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believing ones who have died. We tell you this directly from the Word. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet them ahead of those who have died in Christ. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, trump call of God. First, the believing ones who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds together to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 16 uses the term commanding shout in the translation by the King James Version. Shout, interestingly, the Greek word for shout only occurs one time, and it's in this particular verse. The word indicates an order, a command, a stimulating cry by which a signal is given to men as rowers by the master of the ship. Stroke! Stroke! As soldiers by their commander. Left face! Huh! The second translation I want to read, it's a loud summons, and it is the signal from the Lord for our gathering unto him. Used only here of this once-in-a-lifetime travel to be with our Lord forever. The second translation I want to read is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54 from the Living Bible translation reads, I tell you this, my brothers, an earthly body made of flesh and blood cannot get into God's kingdom. These perishable bodies of ours are not the right kind to live forever. But I am telling you this strange and wonderful secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be given new bodies. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown, for there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never die. And then we, who are still alive, shall suddenly have new body and be caught up together with them. For our earthly bodies, the ones we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. When this happens, then at last the scripture will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. A mortal body means a body that is subject to death. A mortal body is not what we need for eternal life. A mortal body is insufficient to serve God for all of eternity. Our new bodies will go beyond the reaches of this world. Let's carry in our remembrance all that Christ has brought about for us. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die." So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What a Savior! Jesus met that appointment for all men. All men are appointed to die once. He met that. A lot of times in the scriptures, it'll talk about Jesus Christ and it'll talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died for all men. That's what it's talking about. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Then by the grace of God, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. But death could not hold him, for God raised him from the dead, and God will raise us up too. Even David foretold of these truths. On the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke of David's prophecies. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day, because he awaits the resurrection of the just." David would not be part of the born-again believers, those of us that have confessed Jesus as our Lord and believed in our hearts God raised him from the dead. David believed that there would be a Messiah come, and David believed that it would be of his bloodline and that it would take the rulership of his kingdom. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32, "This Jesus God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." This is Peter speaking. Verse 33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had shed forth this, which you now see and hear." Speaking about the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, and they first received the gift of Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues for the first time. That was a seal and a witness to them of the truth of what God had prophesied all along through the different men. "For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foe thy footstool." Keep in mind all the ways our Lord has saved us, and how he has given us a hope and an anchor for our souls in our world that grows more chaotic every day. Everything contradicts clear truths that we know. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets like David, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior. Then in verse 33, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, chaotic and just a mess. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Don't let those things throw your mind off. The word is true. Remain mindful of the words of the prophets and the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Why? Because the word says scoffers shall come. Remember, we have the seal. We have the assurance. Speaking in tongues is the proof that that day has not happened. If I can speak in tongues, that day has not yet come. It is that simple to comprehend. That day has not yet come if I can still speak in tongues, because I carry the seal with me. It's authentic item, confirmation that Christ is in us. It's the security that we're ticket holders to eternity. It's the signet that cannot be misappropriated, that I might end up in the wrong place. It carries the official documentation of the kingdom of God. It's got that stamp and cannot be counterfeited. The Lord knows them that are his. And Jesus has the official head count. Jesus said of those God gave him that he has lost none. He will not lose any one of you. No matter if your ashes or the ashes of someone you know or care for were sent along in the wind over a hillside, he knows where every one of those ashes are. He doesn't need them. He's got a new body for them. If the place where they laid, put you down in the ground and you marked it with a headstone, that's helpful for you to find the exact spot if you like to go and visit. But that headstone, most of them are gone. I think of all them from the Civil War when we were in Massachusetts, all those that were from the Civil War are gone. But he knows where every one of the believers are. He has not lost the spot. He hasn't lost track. He will not lose you. You cannot become lost to him. He will not look at a born-again one and say, no, I don't know you. That was Peter in an earlier part. Three times thou shalt deny me, thrice. Or twice thou shalt deny me, thrice. I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. That was not Jesus. That was Peter. Let's keep the details of the anchor for our souls in our remembrance day by day. God bless you.